Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. I'm a business journalist and I've been writing about and talking about M&A for a decade. In this episode, we're looking at the equity capital market trends in the Asia-Pacific region. I'm joined by Peris Lee, ECM editor for APAC, and Yiching Wang, who is the managing editor for Merger Market in APAC. Hi, Peris. Hi, Yiching. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Juliana.
So let's start with an overview of ECM activity in the first half of the year in APAC from you, please, Yiching.
Sure, definitely. The equity market in Asia is showing some really fascinating shifts. Unlike the strong rebound in EMEA and North America, APAC so far hasn't bounced back as much. However, there's a silver lining. After four consecutive quarters of decline, we are happy to see that second quarter of this year has seen a slight increase of 3% in terms of deal volume out of this region. And one notable trend is really the growing use of equity-linked bonds, which accounted for more than half of APAC's ECM deals, the top ones. I believe Peris will elaborate more on that. With the interest rate remained really high in the first half, many Asian companies are turning to the converts as a cost-effective way to buy buybacks without, you know, diluting their stocks. An example is Alibaba's CB issuance in New York, which is also one of the top three deals in the first quarter globally this year. And another region that is really getting a lot of attention now is India. The country is making a lot of attention and coming to the fore in the capital market. So far this year, India has emerged as the third largest stock exchange globally and now has overtaken Hong Kong as the biggest IPO market in APAC. This has really helped offset the declines in the China and Hong Kong markets. Speaking of China, it has slipped into the ninth place globally so far this year, down from the fifth position earlier this year. And, you know, we all remember when China Asia market was once the top global exchange. That wasn't too long ago, but the times keeps changing. Hong Kong has had a quite slow start this year as well, even with the introduction of the Chapter 18C rules, which was designed to kind of facilitate the pre-revenue technology companies' IPOs. So a lot of changing dynamics within this region, and the news seems picking up that I think, you know, the global investors are closely watching at this moment.
So it sounds like there's lots of interesting trends emerging. You mentioned one of them as a boom in convertible bond issuance in the region. Peris, can you tell me a bit more about that, please? Because it's been particularly strong when it comes to the volume of convertible bonds being issued, hasn't it?
Certainly. Thank you, Juliana and Ichi. So Asia has had a phenomenal year in terms of convertible bond issuance. This year to date, we have priced a spectacular $25.6 billion worth of bonds, which is a record high for the period of any year. And that's more than triple the amount of bonds printed in the same period last year. So that's quite something. And you look at the breakdown of company nationality, Chinese issuers accounted for more than half of the value. And that is indeed a very stark contrast to the market dynamics in the last few years, right? As we remember, Chinese economy is going through these structural changes. If you look at the property markets, which when combined with the protracted geopolitical tensions between China and many other major powers in the world, made it hard for Chinese issuers to print papers, especially when the stock prices were not supportive at all. But this started to change in the second quarter this year, when Chinese equity prices bottomed out in May and, you know, April and May period, and that paved the way for companies like Alibaba and JD.com to price their first ever convert in a matter of 2 weeks, and they raised a total of $7 billion. Arguably, timing and share prices were all aligned to make these deals happen, but what is really significant about these deals was the intention. Baba and JD, they issued the bonds at the time when their share prices rebounded from lows, and they used the proceeds to buy back their shares. So by doing that, The deals allow investors to capture the share price upside, while at the same time, companies improve shareholders' returns, and this is something that never happened before for Chinese issuers. So that set a very positive tone for the market and effectively reopened the converts market for Chinese issuers after years of silence. At the global level, this heavy wave for Chinese issuance since May has helped diversify the global convert market greatly. While APAC is still behind US, you know, where they printed 43.5 billion worth of deals, we are way ahead of EMEA, where you know only 5 billion worth of converts has been priced.
Thanks, Paris. And back to you, Yuqing. You mentioned that India is the third biggest IPO market globally and the biggest IPO market in APAC. Could you go into a bit more detail about why that is and what's happening there?
Yes, I'm really happy to share my views about the red-hot IPO market right now in India. This is really a topic that is generating a lot of buzz these days. The Indian market in terms of IPO is kind of record-breaking sprees in the past 2 years, and it was mainly driven by the strong microeconomic conditions and a shift in the global investors' interest shifting away from China. So this year, we've seen some of the very biggest IPOs in Asia have come from India. I mean, there's one very interesting IPO that is happening at the end of July was Ola Electric, the country's largest e-scooter maker. And of course, there has been some temporary volatilities following Prime Minister Narendra Modi's, you know, unexpected narrow victory in the 2024 elections. But the IPO frenzy in that country shows no signs of slowing down. The investor enthusiasm remains really high, and this is reflected in the performance of India's Nifty 50 index, which are reaching record highs in almost each month. I guess both the retail and institutional investors, especially from foreign investors, have been pouring their capital into the large cap stocks, keeping the valuation elevated. According to our own proprietary reporting, the listed candidates likely to debut for the rest of this year. We have seen candidates from almost all sectors, including e-commerce, consumer, retailing, infrastructure, and you know, electronic vehicles makers. They're actively lining up for listing. And we are happy to see there are some sizable listing are likely to be driven by the India unit of those global industry heavyweights such as Hyundai and South Korea's LG and a few tech and e-commerce unicorns like Flipkart and Swiggy. Also, interestingly, from a financial sponsor perspective, India is also one of the few APAC markets where the PE sponsors can still see a clear exit path. However, there's growing conversation about you know whether the Indian market is getting too hot. With the valuation keeps climbing, the challenge now is really how the private equity investors are able to add value to those investments in India, whether it's in public or private sectors.
So things are hot in India, but less so in Hong Kong. Paris, can you tell me a bit more about what's happening in Hong Kong?
Unfortunately so, yes. So I think it remains a very tricky market, you know, to say the least. If I have to put it bluntly about Hong Kong IPO market. Year to date, Hong Kong has priced just over 2 billion worth of IPOs. And that's comparing with last year when the city raised about 5.6 billion worth of IPO from the IPO market. As the numbers suggest, challenges remain for the companies to get listed at valuations they wanted. Many of the IPOs priced this year have been supported by friends and family and all government funds. And the largest IPO was a 300 plus million listing of Cha Baidong, which is a bubble tea maker from China. And if you look at the share price, the stock has lost more than half of its value since listing. And that's quite telling. So you may argue that, okay, the market is just not favorable. But we need to bear in mind that there's this function of stock market regulators at play. As China's market regulator, CSRC, has been tightly reviewing IPO applications, while this has certainly taken a toll on the short-term deal activity, we are certainly hoping it will be positive over the longer term. And indeed, we are seeing some big-ticket IPOs being approved by Chinese stock market regulator recently. That's including home appliances maker MIDI and Shunfeng, which is Chinese answer for FedEx or DHL. So this will be the and this type of deals will be the type of transactions we need to reopen the Hong Kong IPO market. But very importantly, they need to be priced wisely.
And Yiqing, coming back to you, I spoke to your colleague Ed Vinales recently about the take private of a US-listed Chinese company. And we talked about the challenges that Chinese companies that remain listed in the US face with the low valuations. But there has been something of an uptick in Chinese companies looking to list in the US. Can you tell me more about that?
Yes, it's really interesting to see that despite the persistent regulatory challenges, the resurgence of the Chinese companies listing the US in the first half of this year. So far, we've seen 12 Chinese companies raised a total of, I think, a little bit over $600 million on the US market. This has already surpassed a whole year record in both 2022 and 2023. However, it's not all smooth selling journey for those companies. Most of the IPOs underperformed, and now they're trading below their IPO prices, reflecting the headwinds in investors' confidence still remains. And I do think that the regulatory uncertainties will still cloud the outlook. This uncertainty will raise this question about how long that the US will remain to be the preferred destination for Chinese companies looking to go public.
And can we just finish off by looking at the outlook for the rest of 2024? Because it's certainly something of a mixed picture in the region.
Okay, I will kickstart then. So for the rest of the year, there are two factors the whole world will be watching very closely. One being the US elections in November, and the other being the interest rates. So these will be the key determining factors for the ECM markets worldwide as well. We might expect momentum to slow down a little bit ahead of the elections as based on history patterns. But with expectations for a rate cut to come sooner rather than later, that should provide some sort of support to the IPO markets in general, and that will be hopefully be provide a much-needed shot in the arm for Hong Kong's IPO market. As for converts, when rates are high, converts actually offer the issuers an opportunity to raise funds at lower cost than what they need to pay on the straight bonds, for example. Let's say a company may need to pay an 8% coupon on the bond. It could actually choose to issue a convert at, for example, 4% to 5% coupon, but provide the investors the option to convert the bonds into the shares. That is slowly changing though, as increasingly people are expecting Fed to cut rates sooner. I've spoken to bankers and investors, and one consensus is that with participations of long-onlys or outright investors from Europeans largely down significantly over the past few years, issuers need to make sure that the terms and structure of any deals they are working on are working for hedge fund investors. That would be the very key factor for deals to succeed. Over to you, Yiqing.
I think Paris has concluded it very well, especially to the point that the ECM market is seeing a more diversified playbook across APAC region. But just to add on India, with I think it's at one hand, with the election settled down, the country's robust economy outlook and ample liquidity are expected to stay. And I personally will really be interested to see how India's hype continues to be played out, considering there has been several recent regulation measures taken place by the stock market regulators to kind of step in for the longer term healthy and a sustainable development for that market. And for the Chinese ADR listing, instead of a pure volume pickup, I would really looking forward to see a Chinese company potentially in a regulation, more relaxed sector to be truly recognized by U.S. investors. To me, that will make a more meaningful return of the Chinese ADR listing.
Thanks, Yiqing. Thanks, Paris. Good to talk to you.
That was Yiqing Wang, who is the managing editor for Merger Market in APAC, and Paris Lee, who is the ECM editor for the region. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the show, please follow it. And if you're listening through Apple, please rate and review the podcast. If you want to find out more about what we've been talking about, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.